So I was just like, what is a healthier fit lifestyle? I thought I was living that lifestyle. And I went on a journey to figure it out. And I'm the type of person that work really well under pressure. I learned that from investment banking days, working on the trading desk. So I set a date to compete in a bodybuilding competition 7 months after that doctor's appointment. Whatever it is, this healthy and fit lifestyle, I'm figured out in 7 months because I'm not going to go on anybody's stage looking crazy. So that's where everything started.
Welcome to the No More Reasonable Doubt podcast. In season two of this podcast, it's made to help Black professionals start passion projects so they can expand their impact in the world and at work. In each episode, you can expect an interview with a Black professional who has a 9-to-5 just like you. And they've also launched a passion project into this world. You'll also get episodes with specific topics and lessons to help you move that passion project forward. I'm your host and fellow passion project starter, Mike Ambassador Bruni. Let's start the show. Welcome to another episode of No More Reasonable Doubt. Today, our special guest is Kareen Richards. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited for this podcast with you.
Me too. Based on the little conversation we had before we hit record, I am really excited to have you here too.
Absolutely.
The first question I like to ask the folks is, what do you do or what did you do for full-time work before you started or before you started your passion project?
So I am an investment banker. I spent 16 years in investment banking and earned my charter, which is the CFA, which is one of the hardest exams in the investment banking industry. If anyone on the listening to the show, look it up. It's considered the third hardest exam in the world. And shortly after getting the charter, I went straight into my passion project, which is what made this story a very stunning one.
Ooh, what is your purpose or passion project, and how long has it been in existence?
So my passion project, which is now a business for me full time, is health and fitness. So I went from investment banking to being a health coach and personal trainer.
So my understanding is that every hero has an origin story. What's the origin story of your project?
All right. Well, this origin story actually began with a bit of a tragedy. My mom passed away from breast cancer about 15 years ago. And as she was taking her last breath, my dad was, sitting on one side of the bed. I was sitting on the other side of the bed. And he said to me, "I know you love mommy. I know you're just as ambitious as she is, but can you do one thing a little different for daddy? Can you just practice self-care along with that? Because daddy can't take another loss. Daddy just cannot take another loss." And I promised him, as my mom was taking her last few breaths, that I would do something different in terms of practicing good self-care as I matriculate in this thing called life. And she died. And 10 years later, the doctors found a lump in my breast. And it was very scary because the last time someone reported that they found a lump in their breast, they died 2 years later. So, thinking back to the commitment I made to my dad, thinking about what I would do if I had 2 years to live, became, topmost in my mind. So the doctor told me I needed to live a healthy and fit lifestyle. It turned out that the lump in my breast was not cancerous, but he said that I needed to live a healthy and fit lifestyle so that what happened to my mom doesn't happen to me. So I was just like, what is a healthy and fit lifestyle? I thought I was living that lifestyle. And I went on a journey to figure it out. And I'm the type of person that work really well under pressure. I learned that from investment banking days, working on the trading desk. So I set a date to compete in a bodybuilding competition 7 months after that doctor's appointment. Whatever it is, this healthy and fit lifestyle, I'm gonna figure it out in 7 months because I'm not gonna go on anybody stage looking crazy. So that's where everything started.
Now, wow, that's an amazing story. That's an amazing story. You know, from the you know, the loss of your mother to your own health scare to setting something out and saying, oh, I'm gonna get there. Because I'm not going to look crazy on anyone's stage.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you end up creating?
So when I got on stage, I got fourth place. And that meant I was qualified for the national stage. And I decided that, you know, all right, I learned how to eat healthy and learned how to work out. But I'm just not a fourth place kind of girl. I made a perfect SAT MET score. I'm just always number one. So I'm not going to walk away from this competing thing with fourth place behind my name. So I competed again and learned even more about the sport and became the Masters Bikini Champion for an entire show in Maryland. And with that, I had decided, wow, look at the transformation. I mean, I wish sometimes with a podcast, you can't show pictures, but it's all over my Instagram. I looked at my transformation and said, you know, I bet there are a lot of Black women out there that are so successful in what they're doing that, but when it comes down to their weight or fat loss or getting in shape, it seemed like this invincible type of thing that they just cannot attain. And so I decided that if I could just put out a framework for them so they don't have to go on a 10-year journey the way I did and get to the body of their dreams with cutting out the noise, just getting directly to what they need to do to get from place A to place B, that would add value to people's lives. And I think of each woman that I've helped with their transformation, I think about them as my mom. You know, my mom getting an opportunity to do things a little differently so that she could add years to her life.
That is really powerful. What did you name what you created? What did you name it?
It's called Fit Hidden Figure. And the beauty of the name is that when I started the business, when I was getting ready to compete, the movie Hidden Figures was coming out. It's about those three Black women at NASA, and one was a mathematician. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yep. And if the story of the mathematician in the group was very similar to my childhood because I've always been known to be very strong at math. I remember going to kindergarten and my mom and my kindergarten teacher was speaking. They didn't know I was listening. And, you know, my mom asked her how is she doing? And she goes, you know, she could be better at English, but she's very strong at math, you know. And I was sitting in the car listening to the conversation. And I remember committing to myself at 5 years old that if I just stick to math, I'll be okay, right? So I matriculated, perfect SAT math score, you know, almost perfect GRE math score, 790 in the GRE math score. So I've always been on the really high-performing side of mathematics. And so I identified with a woman in the story, and I named the business after the movie, and I just put Fit in front of it. So it's Fit Hidden Figures.
That's beautiful. Now,
thank you. And then along the way, when clients will come, I remember one woman, she was in her 50s, and she goes, "Kareem, I know I have a great figure. It's just hidden right now." So I'm coming to you to reveal my hidden figure. So it has taken on a few different meanings, but that's what it's called, Fit Hidden Figure.
To me, that's an awesome name. That is an
Thank
awesome name. So was there a point where you actually hesitated to start Fit Hidden Figure?
Yeah, so the truth is this, is that, I was very, very successful in investment banking, and Fit Hidden Figure was supposed to be something I did on the side, right? And for many years I was doing it. As a matter of fact, I have a event coming up on March 27th where I host an event on fitness for women. It's called Dare to Be Great. And I've been doing it every year for the last 4 years, right? So this was supposed to be something on the side. It turns out that when the pandemic hit, there were, I usually work in investment banking as a consultant on projects where, you might be like a VC firm looking to be bought out, or those types of projects. And I would be on as a consultant. Anyway, when the pandemic happened, a lot of that consultancy work dried up, and a lot of the focus for everyone was on their health and fitness. So, what was happening is that I was pushing the door of investment banking when the doors were being closed, but here the health and fitness doors were being open. And I had a business coach, Whitney White, at the time. And I was just like, but I'm investment banking is what I do. That's what I do. That's what I do. And I keep pushing on these closed doors. And she said to me, "But Kareem, can't you see that this door over here is opening? Pursue the health and fitness. Pursue the health and fitness." And in my mind, I struggled because coming from a Caribbean background, we're taught to, do well in school, go to Ivy League schools, get great posh jobs, and all that kind of stuff. I can't look at my parents after all this education and tell them that I'm going to turn around and be somebody's personal trainer. You know what I mean? There was a lot of pressure that way. So after talking through my business with my business coach and just going over those parental expectations, those family expectations, I decided that, you know what? I'm going to live my life doing what I'm truly passionate about. I'm passionate about adding years to people's lives. I wasn't necessarily passionate about making an already wealthy organization more wealthy. And so, she has a program called Take Back Your Time, where it delves deep into how you want to spend your time and make money doing things that you enjoy doing. And that whole program is what propelled me into going after health and fitness, but it was a tough one.
There's so much. I think there's a lot of liberation in what you just shared there, especially as someone who is from background, and then also discussions I've had with people with parental pressures. Regardless of what your background is, and understanding that struggle is real. Of what am I supposed to do? Versus a little bit of like, hey, here's what I want to do, or what is calling me. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
The next question I have for you here is, so you're doing investment banking and you also have your project at the same time. And one of the things that I found that people ask me about is, how do you find the time for your project? So I'd love for you to share a little bit about how did you find the time, and if you had certain routines that kind of helped you to manage both.
So, this is where Whitney's program is very helpful. She does this program called Take Back Your Time. And there is one module where she pushes you to take an inventory of how you spend your time. And she uses this noise matrix. And within the noise matrix, you can clearly pick up on things where you're spending time in ways that are not serving you, right? And so becoming really, really clear on what my goals were and where I need to be spending my time became one of the fruits of the program. Once I got clear on that, right, I had a framework on the types of actions I need to be doing on a daily basis to get from place A to place B. And then I would simply use a notes app, create a list of to-dos, okay, and copy and paste them from day to day to day to day. And every time I did it, I would just check them off, check them off, check them off. But the thing about it is this, is that even coming up with a to-do list, if you got to be very intentional about it, you know, because the to-do list should have things, not things that you feel like doing, not things that you think would be nice to have, but things that will get you to your goal, right? Like, for example, I'm an amateur athlete, bikini athlete right now, right? I want to go pro. So what does that mean? That it means that every day I have to strength train. So that's on my to-do list. It means every day I have to do cardio. That's on my to-do list. Also, in bodybuilding, you can have the best physique in the world, but if you can't present the physique, then you won't win. So posing, you know, practice posing is part of my daily routine that I have to do. Also, managing emotional, spiritual, and mental energy. So I practice devotions. That's on my to-do list. My gratitude journal, so that I don't have this scarcity mindset. I keep my mindset to be one of abundance. So, you know, doing my gratitude journaling, you know, getting to bed on time, waking up on time, eating my meals on time, you know, so specific things that will lead you to the goal. You got to be very intentional with the to-do list, because your success is embedded in your routine. Like, I can look at somebody's routine and can tell them where they're headed. And so your routine should line up with your goals.
Thank you for that. And you may have actually answered this question. Time is mm-hmm. one thing, but mm-hmm. energy is another. You have the demands of your work, and the day is over. And then now it's time to get after those to-do lists, those intentional mm-hmm. to-do lists, as you mentioned. Where or how did you find the energy? Do you have anything you can share with folks? Sometimes I talk about, you know, you go to your 9-to-5 and you've given 95% of your energy. Is there anything that you can share to help people get over that hump?
Mm-hmm. I have a lot to share on that one. The first rule of thumb for me is I give my best and first fruits to myself, which means that my best energy is going to be in the morning, right? And if I have a 9-to-5 job, that means I have to get up way before 9 o'clock, okay, to give my best energy to myself and invest in myself, right? Then when the 9-to-5 comes, whatever is left goes there, right? That's rule number one. Give my best energies to myself, right, and my goals. Rule number two is practicing a daily habit of devotions, whether you are Christian, whether or not you're atheist, or you know, thinking of some higher power, whether it's the universe, but tap into your higher power. For me, it's God. And I use the Baba app to take me through devotions on a daily basis. where I am reminded of God's truths about me, right? That I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm created in images and likeness of Him, that His love endureth forever. Like all of these affirmations, like affirming who I am in Christ. I read them, I journal about them, I journal about the way I feel about them, and then I go into prayer. And one of the things that is really, one of the scriptures that come to mind is that my strength comes from God. So if I, you know, I think about the whole analogy, and the scripture talks about it, that, you know, if you have a vine, right, and the branch, you know, you have branches that come off the vine. If one branch breaks and no longer connected to the vine, the branch dries up and becomes nothing. So I think about my devotion times as my way of, as me being the branch constantly connected to the vine and always getting, drawing from source, energy source from the vine. And the minute, and I'll tell you, it takes real discipline to get up early in the morning, do your devotions, spend time in the word. But the minute I fall off of that practice, I feel like a dried up branch, like literally just dried up, no source of energy. So my source of energy comes from that quiet time where I spend time with God, I speak to God, I take time to listen to Him, I spend time reading about Him and understanding what His purpose is for me. And that's where I get my strength.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
How has or did your project positively impact the way you showed up at your day job?
Oh, yes. I and I'm going to tell you from what my friends say. Just imagine a girl walking around 30% body fat, and now she's 15% body fat in the best shape of her life, and she just walks with her head higher, more confident, more proud, to the point where I was involved with an organization called the Association for Women in Science, and my confidence blew through the roof that they actually appointed me CEO of this 100,000 member organization. And the way I showed up, I don't think the whole system changed. I think the way I showed up changed. I was just way more confident, way more sure of myself. And I see the same thing happening with my clients. Like my clients that, you know, when they first come to me, they're covered from top to bottom. Now they come to workout showing up in their sports bra and shorts, and they're showing up with more confidence, and the confidence after confidence, day after day after day of more confidence lead to them showing up in the workplace completely different. It's to me, it's absolutely life-changing, and it's so fulfilling to be able to bring this kind of change in a woman's life.
That is beautiful. I'll tell you what showed up for me as you were saying this about the confidence, and then when you mentioned about the growth of the confidence and becoming the CEO of the organization, Women in STEM, what came for me right away is A, I wanted to clap. B, if I had an air horn, I felt like I wish I had an air horn button here, but bing, 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 bing. That's what I wanted to do, you know, because it was just moving. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, these are some of the things that, you know, in our previous conversation before we started the show, you know, when I thought about health and fitness, I thought that, you know, it's just about adding days to your life. You know, you live a more healthy life. You know, you probably won't die as young as my mom at 48 of breast cancer. I didn't realize that paying attention to health and fitness had so many other, ramifications. Like I didn't realize that I wasn't showing up with certain, confident in a room, the way I sit in a boardroom, the way I sit at the table, the clarity of mind when I'm thinking, my memory. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of people don't think about the fact that your brain works a lot better. You're able to retain more information when you're healthy and fit, right? Like I'll go into board meetings and we're talking about something and I'm like, six board meetings ago, we already talked about this. This is what we had decided. These are the facts we had there. And just the memory to be able to bring to the board meeting. And then the logical thinking as well, the clarity of mind, are all things that, I benefit from just having a healthy and fit lifestyle, And I don't know if I had anticipated that going into it.
And you may have just answered the next question, but if there's anything more you want to add to it, please do. And that question is, what did you learn along your journey that you think others looking to follow you, they have a project and they're a little bit on the fence. What do you think they need to know?
There are a lot of things. And I'm gonna start with this particular story because the way I can share is just through stories. In my last year working in investment banking, I remember working very close to a Bloomingdale's. And I would go in, doing my shopping, but I was always very particular about the way I carry myself. And a lady in Bloomingdale's says to me, "Oh, wow, I'm always so impressed with the way you carry yourself. Does your friends dress the way you do?" And I'm like, "Sure." She goes, "Oh, well, I want to host your birthday party, right?" So I'm like, "Strange. Why would Bloomingdale's want to host my birthday party?" Then I said to her, "Well, sure, you get to host my birthday party if you donate whatever money you make, you donate a portion of it to an organization I care about." So they're like, "Done. As long as they're 501c3 compliant, it's done." So I said, "Okay, sure." So I went out on this journey to figure out, okay, Kareem, what 501c3 organization you care about, right? So I did some research, and as a woman in STEM, I chose the Association for Women in Science. It was the only organization that was based in DC that advocates for women in STEM. So I'm like, okay, that's the organization. They did this birthday party. They made $20,000 in 2 hours, cut a check for $2,000, and sent it to AWIS, Association of Women in Science. Then the then CEO of AWIS shows up at my front door to figure out, okay, I just got $2,000. Where did it, in care of some girl named Corrine Richards. I want to know how this came about. So she shows up at my front door. And the next thing you know, I became on the board. The reason I'm telling you the story is one that, dress for success, dress for where you're trying to go, not for where you are currently. And it matters. It really does matter. Two, if you have power, if you're spending money, you have power. So use that to your advantage. And what I mean by that is when I spend my money, I spend my money in a handful of places. I go to one place to get my hair done. I go to one place for clothes. I go one place to get my nails done. I go one place to shop for groceries. I go one place for everything. And what happens when you do that is that you build up relationships with each one of the places that you spend money. And when you do that, the relationship ends up benefiting you in the long run. So the reason why Bloomingdale's hosted my birthday party was because I gave them all my skincare clothing, all my business to one place. I'm not the type of person who's going to go aimlessly shopping in the malls. I solidify my relationship with them, right? They turn around, write a check to the Association of Women in Science for $2,000, right? Now, that's power right there. And what Bloomingdale's did was get me in the door with the Association of Women in Science. The next thing you know, I'm on their board. The next thing you know, I'm the CEO of the organization, right? And it all stemmed from being very intentional with how I spend money, right? Now I do an event, you know, called Dare to Be Great, where all the places I do spend my money, okay, they get to come to my event as sponsors, okay, so my entire network can benefit from these very companies, that thus deepening the relationship even further, right? So, you know, I'm having an event called Dare to Be Great. So the woman, you know, being a woman of color and staying fit is very, very hard because you have to worry about the hair and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, staying on brand as a woman of color and being sweaty in the gym and all that kind of stuff is very, very hard for us. So I have one hairstylist that was able to help me crack the code on that one so that I could be a competitor and then show up at my board. I could be 1 minute training to be a competitor and show up at a board meeting, you know, the next day. You know what I'm saying? Or within hours. You know what I'm saying? But she taught me how to do that. She comes to Dare to Be Great and shares a secret with everyone. The person who does all the entertainment for all my events, you know, she is a female DJ that plays, that is a good DJ, but she plays a fiddle to the beat of the music. You know, she comes to my event, and then next thing you know, everyone who comes to my event has access to my entire network of women that empower me. And so what we do is that we keep the wealth within our, you know, organization. So a lot of, even though I'm in health and fitness now, a lot of this investment banking background and experience actually changed the way, you know, the way I spend money and how I use money to establish relationships, right? So I have shared a number of different things that I have done, but I think that's the one thing we didn't talk about is how to leverage your buying power, okay, for your advantage is one of the things that what we probably didn't discuss so far in the episode.
Thank you for that. Is there more you would like to say?
Yes. I would like to say that health and fitness and really eating clean, having a routine of eating clean and working out is also, you know, I alluded to it a little bit earlier, is very beneficial to even performing better in the workplace, right? And I'll give you an example. You know, I did, you know, I was in investment banking. I was taking a CFA exam, and for level three, it took me 6 years to pass it. And I wasn't able to crack that exam until I was on a health and fitness routine. And I've seen people coming into from IT passing their IT exams by being on our program, being on a healthy and fit. So a lot of times when people think about getting in shape, they're thinking about just the aesthetics of it, but, you know, they're not thinking about how they're showing up day to day and their, you know, intellectual abilities being developed by having a good, healthy and fit lifestyle.
Thank you for that. It sounds like there's so much there in making that decision with the healthy and fit lifestyle, as you mentioned, aesthetic, but even the thought of sticking to something, you know, the confidence that may come from the changes that you're seeing, but the confidence also from routine, for being able to say, this is the kind of person I am. You know, so thank you for that. Next question I want to ask you. So along this journey,
Are there any resources or books that you found particularly helpful when it came to kind of this development of your project? If you wouldn't mind sharing one to three of them.
Well, Whitney White comes to mind. She has a program called Take Back Your Time, which was very helpful. And then I'm also in her program called Small Business Accelerator. So I would say Whitney White is, you know, she's not cheap, but is completely responsible for my success, you know, with the help of God. You know, I told you a lot about my devotions, but, you know, you need that person that will push you to further growth. And she was definitely a good resource. In terms of books, there's a book called Successful Women Think Differently, that I have actually created a whole book club around. And a lot of the concepts for that book has helped to propel the way I do things. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is probably the third book that I would say. And then, you know, lastly, the Word of God. Just, you know, it's just filled with wisdom. And it helps me to make a lot of those small decisions on a day-to-day basis. And because, you know, success is just a series of a bunch of very good decisions. And then the other things I want to share too is, do you remember earlier on in our conversation, we were talking about the parental pressures?
Yes.
So I want to share where that ended up, right? So, you know, just imagine my family has always been very, very big on academia, that kind of thing. My mom was a professor. My dad, you know, his literary skills are through the roof. He's been a chief financial officer for many years for a lot of huge companies. So it's very, you know, my family is very academia and career focused, right? So I was nervous about telling my dad, yeah, you know, I'm going to be a bodybuilder now, and then I'm going to be a trainer and yada, 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 right? And so interestingly, I had put those parental pressures in my head, but the parental pressures did not really exist. It was because what ended up happening was I did what I had to do. Okay. My dad ends up coming to all my shows. He never misses my show. Okay. The next thing you know, when I'm getting ready to go on stage, he asked for his own selfie picture so he can take pictures with me with a 6-pack. Right. And share it with all his friends on WhatsApp. You see what I'm saying? And so all of the, sometimes the things that are blocking us are parental pressures that are blocking us is probably things our parents might have said when we were younger and that kind of thing. And then we create these pressures in our minds. And then, you know, when we just go ahead and do it, our parents are like completely fine. They're like, all right, what's next? You know, so I just wanted to share that also as another perspective as to the very thing that might be the fear factor of not making that plunge. That fear could easily be something that is not really there. It's almost like I heard a speaker said that fear is like an old, roaring, toothless lion. So, you know, old lions, they roar the loudest, but they also have no teeth. And so if you walk in the direction of your fear, the next thing you know, you're in front of an old, roaring, toothless lion. So that just goes to show that sometimes the very thing that you fear is just not even there in the beginning.
That's a great note for us to end on. I just want to make sure that you share where the people can find you, because there's nothing else we can say after that one.
So I am on Instagram at Fit Hidden Figure. Again, that's Fit Hidden Figure. Please check us out. You'll be inspired with the transformations that we have done. We're also on LinkedIn at Fit Hidden Figure. Our website is www.fithiddenfigure.com. If you want to reach out to us and get your own transformation, you can reach out to us on Instagram or on our website, and we'll be happy to get back to you.
Kareen, I'm really excited that you took the time to be on our show today.
Absolutely. I had a fun time, you know, connecting with you and sharing the story. Sometimes, you know, the beauty about sharing your story is that you forget how far you came, you know. So thank you for having this show so that we, even as guests on your show, we can be reminded of, you know, how far we've come. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that episode and found tremendous value in it. If so, don't keep it a secret. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram, our handle, No More Reasonable Doubt. Every so often, I create a free resource to help you take your purpose or passion from a dream to an actual project. You can always find that resource at nomorereasonabledoubt.com/free-gift. This is Mike Ambassador Bruni for No More Reasonable Doubt. Remember, some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. It's on you.